Yeah, get ready for puja. Today is the 29th June, 2017, Thursday. So we are having our class at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's place. We will start with the puja. Yeah, you just like lah, never mind lah. Just like lah. Oh. Yeah, off the fan. Who knows the fan control? I think NB will know. We'll see. The fan control. Last week you switch. Which one? Correct. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let us stand. Then we learn to rejoice with all the puja offering. Start the offering with the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will get ready for puja chanting. Let us prepare our mind, develop our spiritual faculty of Saddha, which is our faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then we develop the spiritual zeal, which is the tenacity to learn this teaching, to go this way. after understanding how unique a being the Buddha is, and how wonderful his Dhamma or teaching is, because it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, free our mind from all suffering, can help us to understand life, change our life destiny. That's why if you have this faith, then this fear to develop the understanding of his teaching, then mindfully, we shall pay our respect by reciting the salutation. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Guansuying Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana. Vandana is from the salutation onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu mitachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now turn to page 3. We shall now chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang rujayami tamonudang ganna sambara yutena dupenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja bhajana mutamang, vanna ganda guno petang, petang kasuma santatin, pujayami monindasa, siri pada sarorohe, puje me bedang kusume na nena, punne na mate na cha ho tu mokang, pupang milayati yata idang me, kayo tata yati vina sabawang, adivase tuno bante, paniyang parika pitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang, adivase tuno bante, pale parika pitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang, adivase tuno bante, bojanang parika pitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, then page 5, before we go to page 5, which is making of aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings, I like to make use of this today's opportunity or condition to explain a bit, because there are two who are quite new. You see, when we start the puja just now, we recite sadhu. Sadhu is a Pali word. It means rejoicing. Rejoicing with the generosity of those who brought this offering. That's why we rejoice, we say sadhu. Then we also rejoice with their wholesomeness, their sincerity, their kindness. So all this is meritorious action. Then the act of generosity, the act of understanding that this is part of the meritorious action. And generosity is a type of virtue that will allow you to cut away your greed, your selfishness. But generosity is you are generous to offer things for the good of the many, to share with people, to develop wholesomeness, merits, and all those things. And all this offering that we do, they have various Dhamma significance. Means they point towards certain aspect of the teaching which is very meaningful. When we recite the puja aspiration, you will understand. We offer the first item, the tray. The tray got three items there. Clear water, incense, and the candlelight. So later on when we read through, you will know their significance. That's how all these puja offerings come about and the meaning behind their significance. If you know how to make use of this wholesomeness or goodness to make aspiration for your own progress along the path of Dhamma, and for whatever you want, it can come true, it can bring forth the causes and conditions for it to be realized. That's why we will now invoke the power of this aspiration through our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Then apart from the tray, we offer fruits. Then we also offer flowers. So all this have their significance. So I will read through. Then you will develop the understanding. So now turn to page 5. Making of aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering that we have made. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure clear water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Then making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharings and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem, huh? The Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated and maintain some form of attentiveness or attention. When you are attentive, you are mindful naturally. Yeah. Attentive means just aware, don't think, don't allow the thought to arise. Like when you pay attention to something, you attentively listen without thinking, without distraction. That is attentiveness. Mm. Then the other thing about mindfulness is it can help you calm yourself down, develop moments of silence within you. Then if you can do it, it will benefit you tremendously, because mindfulness is the only mind state that can separate your thinking mind or your mundane mind, at least for that moment, so that it will not haunt you, not disturb you, not create fear, worry, anxiety in you, or restlessness in you, or those problems of the mind. Temporarily, you can isolate it. That's why you need to learn how to meditate. Learning how to meditate is to train the heedless thinking mind so that it is mindful, aware, not thinking, not lost in thought, not doing all those heedless thinking, verbalization, and obviously mental chattering, which normal human beings find it very difficult to overcome. So mindfulness can be developed in many ways. When you have faith, sadha, virya, then you pay respect mindfully, means body and mind move as one, no thought. That is mindfulness. Or when you develop breathing in and breathing out, maintain mindfulness. The breath and the mind move as one without thought. That is sati. Yeah. So all these are very skillful means to develop mindfulness. Mm. Then throughout the day, when you are conscious going through life, you can be mindful of your posture while sitting, you're aware. Standing, you're aware. Aware doesn't mean try to note. Aware, just be attentive. Attentive of your four posture. When you walk, you just walk. Don't go and think and worry. Just attentively walk. Then when you lie down, be aware of your whole bodily posture lying down. That moment when it slowly goes down. If you are aware, you don't think, you are peaceful. So these are the training you can do. But when you come for formal meditation like this one, it gives you more condition to train this mind. If your spiritual faculty is already developed, daily mindfulness already developed, you have your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, the five spiritual faculty developed, then like your aspiration, you make aspiration for this to arise until it become very stable, until your spiritual faculty become balanced, powers, unshakable. And then, technically, your meditation become very simple. You just relax, silent. You will be in a state of sati or mindfulness. Then you will be in a meditative state without thought straight away. But most people cannot have that because they don't have the stability of the five spiritual faculty. They haven't developed them and they have yet to train their mind. That's why this mind think a lot. Wanders off very fast, become very heedless. So the heedless thinking mind, there is a reason for it. The Buddha said, the reason why you are not peaceful, not able to calm yourself down and maintain the silence within, is because of mental hindrance. Mental hindrance that arise due to your lack of the five spiritual faculty. And this mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. So the gist of the teaching is very simple. If you don't have the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will be there, then you cannot meditate. So what are you going to do? You have to reverse this heedless thinking. There are various skillful means being taught. But what I have taught you is the most direct and simple. That's why I say you all need to read up before you come or listen to the audio recording before you come so that you understand. So when you have this problem of the mental hindrance causing you the lack of peace, hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness, then you have to train it not to do that. And the best way is the mind sweeping method, which I have already explained. You relax body and mind, silent everything, straighten your backbone. Okay, now we can off the light. Those who know how to meditate, you can proceed. And those who are new, you need instruction, I will just give a very brief instruction. You go back, listen to all this recording and read up the book, the blue book. So that we can save time. Otherwise, your half an hour of meditation, you may not be able to use it. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. Then those who are new, mind sweeping method is very simple. Relax body and mind. Silence everything. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then close your eye. Feel. Don't think, feel. Feel your forehead. Any tension, any stress within, you just relax it, relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Whatever stress within, tightness, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. If there's any tension also, relax it. Then you move on, sweep the mind down from the forehead to your so-called eye. All of your eye muscle, feel it. If there's any tension or tightness or stress within, you just feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Relax every part of your eye muscle. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel it. Each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. So that there is no more tension in your body. No more tightness, no more stress. You feel completely relaxed and at ease. Yeah. Then to assist you further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can visualize your smiling face, you will feel good. You will feel relaxed because for you to smile, you must have joy, happiness. That's how you can relax. Yeah. Then you can combine your loving kindness and radiate this metta or loving kindness to yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your mind state. Then you can continue. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then you can extend this metta towards your loved one. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May there be peace, may there be love, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend the same metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this USJ area, all Kayanamitas, all Devas, Dharma protector, non-human, known and unknown, seen and unseen. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Yeah. Then you relax into it. Mm. Then finally, you can extend this loving kindness or metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. Yeah? Starting with Subangjaya, the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth, then our solar system, our galaxy, then our Milky Way, all beings within the entire Milky Way and our entire universe. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful. Well, happy and peaceful. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. This mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness or metta can bring about the deconditioning of your heedless thinking because you just feel and relax. You don't do anything. Then you radiate love and metta. So the initial Mind Supreme Method will bring about inner calmness, inner peacefulness, inner mindfulness because you don't think. Then after that, when you radiate metta, it will bring about inner well-being. So inner peace combined inner well-being is very useful for you to decondition the heedless thinking and train your mind just to be aware, silent within. Then you have to stabilize this silent mind, peaceful mind. That's how you revert to anapanasati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath, which I have described before. Now, instead of allowing your awareness to be at your forehead, you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silence everything and feel in front of your nostril. Then silently try to detect your breathing. Then, like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware of the in breath. Breathing out, the mind is aware of the out breath. Just do this exercise. It will be good enough. But initially, if you are new, not trained, your mind will wander off very fast. You cannot maintain mindfulness of the in and out breath. But don't worry. Every time it wanders off, bring the attention back to your breathing. Just focus there. Then allow the mindfulness to detect the in and out breath. If you are patient, within 5 to 10 minutes, your mind can be trained to be at the breathing. Then just allow the breath to move with the awareness. Don't think, just allow the movement, awareness, and your breathing to become synchronized or harmonized. When the breath and the mind move as one without thought, that is sati, mindfulness of the in-breath, followed by the out-breath. Keep on doing this. Okay, I will allow you to train your mind with this technique. Then for those who know how to meditate, you use your silent mind to meditate. I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then, let us turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sage, which is heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sagamo Kadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana
Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vichacharana Sampanno Sukato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinoheti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yatitang chattari yukane atta purisa Gala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali karaniyo anuterang penyang ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. Then just maintain some form of attention and attentiveness. Then we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by question if you have any regarding the meditation, the teaching, and how you can make use of this teaching to help you live life, understand life, and overcome all of your problems in life. The beauty about the Buddha's teaching is it can help you bring about the peaceful mind, the calm mind, leading to the understanding, to understand clearly what life is. And through this understanding, you can free your mind from all suffering. Then when you understand this teaching, you like understand the secret of life. You know how to live life. Means you can change your life destiny. You no longer have to go through suffering like before when you don't understand this teaching, when you are deluded. So like the Buddha said, each and every one of us, not only human beings, including all the other living beings, even animals, devas, non-humans, or whatever they may be, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are every moment, every instant, because of your karma. So when you understand this law of karma, which is so powerful, then we will know how to at least do the right thing in life. Since our life is almost entirely affected by karma, because we are born of it, we inherit everything that we do during our previous life, even all of the life before this life. That's why it's the summation of all your action, speech and thought process, the mental intention behind them, that condition karma. So if you act, speak and think with an unwholesome mind, you will have problem, because according to the Buddha, the lack of wisdom will cause you to act, speak and think with a heedless mind that doesn't have the understanding. Then it will lead to suffering. Then you will act, speak and think with an evil mind, heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then suffering will follow you like the wheel that never follow the hoof of the cart's drive. That's why you will have problem. But if you train your mind according to the Buddha, if you understand this law of karma, you develop mindfulness, heedfulness, to be aware of your mental intention, so that you will never violate this law, then you will act, speak and think with a wholesome mind, without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Means you don't have any more selfishness, any more self-delusion, any more emotional negativity, anger, hatred, jealousy and greed. Even your fear, your insecurity, all this no more. So when you act, speak, and think without all this negative thought or evil roots, you will be happy. The Buddha says happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So law of karma is very simple. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. Whatever you do out to people or yourself, the friction of it, when it comes back, when there is condition for it to arise, it will afflict you. So it's never worthwhile to commit negative action, speech, and thought process onto others or yourself. And this is what karma is all about. So if you come to understand that in the past, you must have done a lot of negative things in life. That's why the Buddha said, if you want to understand what your past is like, you look at what you are now, because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of it. So if this is the case, then you look at your present life since birth until now. How is it? If it has a lot of problem, then you know in the past, many, many lives back, or the past life, you must have done a lot of things that bring forth this type of suffering to people. That's why now the condition arises, you become the victim, you reap what you sow. So this understanding is very important. When we understand this, we ask ourselves, what can we do? Like I always advise, same as the Buddha, the past already gone, you cannot change the past. Future also yet to come, not a reality. You're going to worry, no use. You can only change your life from this moment onward. Moment to moment, life passes by. This is the only reality in life. What are you doing? If you are creating more negative karma through heedlessness, then you will continue to have problem with life. But if you want to change for the better, then you can decide your own life destiny, like I always said. We hold the key to our own life destiny, to be happy or to be miserable and unhappy. Entirely our choice. So why can't you wake up and choose wisely? Is it so difficult to choose to be happy, to be peaceful? It's not difficult. But the problem with the world is, most human beings or living beings, they don't understand this law of karma. They don't understand the impact it has on their life. That's why they are not serious about life. They don't take care of karma. If karma plays such a great role in your life, you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are every moment, every instant because of it. So if you want to change your life destiny, you have to take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. Basically, it's just to avoid all evil things, evil deeds, evil action, and evil speeches that brings about suffering and misery to fellow living beings and yourself. If you do that, you will not have any of this negativity or karmic friction. So in future, people will not harm you, will not kill you. Yeah, will not cause fear and worry, anxiety in you. Your life will become more meaningful, more beautiful. You will have more peace, more calmness, more clarity, yeah? Less of all this negative mind state, because you don't create those negativity or karma. So this is how you change your life destiny. Yeah? Then according to the Buddha, when you avoid all evil to good, you only take care of karma, but you have not developed the understanding, the wisdom to free your mind, because there are still other reality of life and existence that can make you miserable. Yeah? So under the teaching, the Buddha summarized all of life into the essential Dhamma that he has taught the world. The essence of his teaching is just the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths can explain to you the whole of life, both mundane and supramundane. That's why I say he summarized all of life into just Four Noble Truths. And these are not ordinary Noble Truths. These are Noble Truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. In the time of the Buddha, the enlightened beings are called noble beings, because they are very noble. Noble ones or noble beings. They are very noble in all aspects of life. They are very noble in their understanding of life. They have wisdom. They have right views with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then they have right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Means they are very noble in the way they conduct themselves, in the way they arise, their speech, in the way they communicate with people, or in the way they act in life. No negativity, not causing any harm or danger or fear or killing and causing or misery. Then they speak kind, gentle, pleasant, good speeches that bring about understanding, harmony, love, compassion, goodness, kindness, generosity, and all those things. They have this, what they call, contentment within their mind. They have respect, gratitude towards those who have helped them or taught them. So all these are the good mind state of a noble one. Then they also arise beautiful right thought. They are very conducive for having the good life. Then they also have the four right effort to constantly purify themselves, make themselves a better person, a better living being, to be a blessing to all. Then after that, they train their mind to develop mindfulness, leading to samadhi, collectedness of mind. So this unwavering and collected mind is samadhi. So when there is mindfulness, sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, and you can awaken to the truth, and you can realize the wisdom which can free your mind from all suffering. Then you will not be deceived by what the world tells you, the phenomenal world of consciousness, your physical body and mind. You will know clearly what they are, that they are not really what you think you are. This body and mind of you is condition arising, dependent originating, karmically conditional. For you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But of course, when you don't have this understanding, you are deluded. It's for you to come here to pay back your karma, to experience all of the negativity of karma that you have inflicted upon others and yourself. So this is what life is all about. So like I said, if you hold the key to your own life destiny, then if you want to change your life destiny, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. That's why we are here, to understand this teaching. Then we are here to make sure we do not fall again. And to overcome your past, the Buddha teaches three things. He said, first, if we know this is wrong, we have acted wrongly, we have created a lot of negativity or karma, we have caused a lot of harm, suffering and misery to fellow living beings, brings about a lot of unnecessary fear, worry, sorrow and lamentation that cause a lot of suffering to fellow living beings. So we have to ask for forgiveness, repentance, means we seriously recognize that this is something as a human being we shouldn't do, because there is karmic repercussion or friction. So when we repent, we ask for forgiveness, the nature's law will operate. That it will help you break the karmic obstruction. That is the first level that you have to develop the understanding. If you don't break your karmic obstruction, then this karmic obstruction will obstruct you, prevent you from having the condition to come out of your karmic negativity. And because of that, whatever you do, no use. And living beings' problem is, they go and do everything except taking care of karma, because they believe in all the funny things that they were told. And this can happen because in the past, previous life, many, many lives back, and many of your life, you also like these bogus people who also prey on people's superstition, believe you make money from them. So last time you do this to people, now you will go back and see this type of people. You reap what you sow. That's why you end up getting more and more deluded. You believe in all the feng shui thing, or all the rites and ritual, or what people tell you. You clean your soul, you do all those funny things. Everything you do, if you don't take care of karma, your life destiny will not change. That's why you will come to finally understand that no amount of all this, like change your house, feng shui and all those things, or do all those rituals that they ask you to do, and sometimes you need to pay for all those things. Then they tell you they can change your life destiny, they can change your luck. Then you must do something. Of course, all this comes with a price. When you start to believe all this, you will be lured into all these things. Then finally, if the law of karma is the one that is the truth, then what is going to happen to you? Means you wasted your time doing all those things and wasted your money. Then this is what you have to go through, because this is karmic. So if you don't ask for forgiveness, you cannot turn around. So you ask for forgiveness, it will break your karmic obstruction, then there is possibility of you having access to good things. Because the moment you ask for forgiveness and determine sincerely to repent, knowing that these are wrong, the nature's law will bring about a type of effect on your karma. It will allow you to receive assistance or help from people. Because it's just like when you sincerely ask for forgiveness in our civilization, real life. People will give you a chance where they see that you are sincere. So they will give you a chance. But if you are not sincere, you go back to the old way, people is not going to give you a second chance. So the karmic obstruction is like when people see you keep on doing this type of nonsense, nobody is going to give you another chance. So this karmic obstruction will block. Not until you wake up and tell people that this is wrong, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to repent. That is the beginning. So similarly, the nature's law worked something that this way. Then after you have done that, you have to tell yourself from today onward, after I repent or ask for forgiveness, I determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind to develop understanding, wisdom. How to avoid all evil? The Buddha said, keep your precept. That's why we chant. We renew all five precepts. You read the English translation, you will know. After we chant the salutation, Namo Tassa, We take refuge. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Then we repeat. For the second time we go for refuge, third time we go for refuge. Then after that we chant our renewal of five precepts. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. The first precept. The meaning is very simple. We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or harming fellow living beings. So this is the first precept. Who kill and who harm? People with the evil roots of greed, selfishness, anger, hatred, and delusion. They will kill, they will harm. So if you keep that precept, you don't kill, you don't harm, you don't cause suffering to people, fellow living beings and others. Means you already protect yourself. Because when you don't do all this, there is no negative karma for you to reap the effect later on. So by keeping to the precept, you not only protect others, you protect yourself from entangling with the karmic negativity. So similarly, the second precept is the same. It's about stealing, taking things that don't belong to you. So we undertake the training rule to abstain from taking things or stealing things that don't belong to us. Because when you do this, there is action leading to karma, because there is selfish intention behind, there is greed behind, there is delusion behind. That's why you dare to steal. But because of the law of karma, you reap what you sow. In future, you will lose back all this. People will steal from you. Or nature's disaster will take away your wealth, your possession from you. Or you will end up with problem, go and see all these bogus people whom you have cheated in the past, paying back your karmic negativity. You will see them and willingly pay them back all these things. So, law of karma is like that. Then the third precept is, you undertake the training rule to abstain from sexual misconduct, means extramarital sexual offense. Means you break your precepts, the third precept, which is, they call it misconduct, means you partake in illegal sexual activity. Then the fourth precept, of course, is you undertake the training rule to abstain from the four wrong speeches, which include harsh speech, backbiting, telling lie, and frivolous speech, speech that are not fruitful, not appropriate, that lead to karmic negativity and downfall. Then finally, when you partake in intoxicant or involve yourself with drugs, and all those activities that bring about karmic negativity due to your consciousness being affected by them, like alcohol and other things. So these are the five precepts that can bring about downfall, karmic negativity. So when you determine not to do all this, you must keep your precept very, very sincerely. Means you vow not to break them. You vow from this moment to always keep this precept. Then when you keep this precept, you avoid all evil. It's a great improvement. Because when you avoid all evil, means you don't create karmic negativity. You don't harm, you don't cheat, you don't do all these things that can hurt people's feeling, like sexual misconduct. You don't arise the wrong speech. You don't partake in intoxicant and drug to make your consciousness low so that it can cause you to violate all the other precepts. So by keeping to the precept, you will be more peaceful. You will have better life. you will not have all those karmic negativity like before. And this is the beginning of transformation. It will start to change your life destiny. Because when you don't have karmic negativity, your life will be a lot better. But the past you cannot change because it's already imprint. But because you ask for forgiveness and you determine to change over, you will have better mind state, better condition for good karma to arise, where there is no condition for negativity. So this karmic past, they will not have much power over you unless it's very severe, strong karma. That's the beauty of determining to follow the advice of the Buddha. Then your life destiny can immediately improve. Then after that, you're supposed to move one step further, the Buddha said. After you avoid all evil by keeping the precept, you must train your mind in mindfulness to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, virtue. And this is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Develop the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that you have been doing in the past. Then the right effort to prevent them from arising when you have the understanding. Then you are incapable of all this negativity. Then the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action and right livelihood that you have not developed because you don't have the understanding in the past. So now you know the teaching. You cultivate all the goodness, the virtue, all of the good mind state, like generosity, loving kindness, compassion, sincerity, trust, mutual respect, gratitude, sincerity, kindness, even contentment is a very good virtue. Then all this will transform you. Because when you are kind to people, good to people, generous to people, sincere to people, the law of karma, you reap what you sow. People will be kind to you, generous to you, sincere towards you, help you, do a lot of good things for you. Because this is what you have done for humanity, for others. So when you start to cultivate all the right thought, right speech, right action, born of right view with regards to law of karma, you will see a marked improvement in your life. Because all these things that you cultivate, they bring about merits. Merits are your spiritual wealth, spiritual blessings. That's why the Buddha said, nothing protects a living being except virtue. Virtue is your highest protection. You don't have virtue, your merits, your goodness, your kindness, nothing in this world can protect you. Your only virtue protect, where you reap what you sow. So you must cultivate and develop a lot of this so that you have this inheritance. Then after that, the Buddha said, you can evoke power of merits for causes and conditions to arise, to improve your life, to make a difference to your life. Just like what we chant, the puja chanting, that is just puja. But after you meditate and develop all this understanding, you would have performed all the 10 meritorious deeds. The 10 meritorious deeds are very simple. Dana is generosity. When you radiate loving kindness, you also radiate generosity, where you wish people well-being and happiness. When you make offering, the puja offering, you make offering and donation, you already develop generosity. So that is the first meritorious action, dana, generosity. Then you keep your precept, another meritorious action. Then you meditate like just now, another meritorious action. Then when you pay respect to the Buddha, it's another meritorious action, reverential salutation. Then when you rejoice, sadhu, 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 that is also a meritorious action. Then you listen to Dhamma, straighten your view. These are all meritorious actions. Then You share merits, transfer merits. These are all meritorious action. Then you provide service, help out in the Kayanamita shape, in the Dhamma environment or spiritual environment, society. These are all meritorious action. And when you cultivate all this 10 meritorious action that you have cultivated, they are your spiritual well. They can allow you to arise the causes and condition to help you in whatever way you want. Means you can make use of them to make aspiration by the power of all these merits and meritorious action that this nature of mine has cultivated. May it arise the causes and condition for certain things to arise. And all this can be very useful. Then it can also help you in your cultivation. Cultivation means like you make your aspiration for you to constantly avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. So all these are the possibility. So this is what the Dhamma is all about. It can bring about great transformation in a person's life. That's why your life destiny can change. It can transform you completely, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. Then you become a different person. You become somebody very noble, very beautiful. You can be a blessing to the world after that. Then you look back, you will come to understand how foolish you were earlier on because you lack this teaching. You don't understand this teaching. That's how living beings develop all the karmic negativity because they are so heedless, doing all the wrong thing in life. So this is what my nature wants to share tonight because it's recorded. You can listen to it again. And it can help transform your life, change your life destiny. And this one no need to pay money. This one just to understanding. When you understand, you can bring about a very, very immediate change to your life, transformation to your life destiny. And all your so-called bad luck or sui or what, they will be get rid of overnight. Yes. As immediate as that. The moment you understand, you start to determine sincerely, seriously to change. All this become possible. All this become beautiful. And you can do it. It's not difficult. But if you got karmic obstruction, there is nothing you can do where this thing cannot go in. It obstructs you from even having the mind state to understand, to even attentively listen. You can't. And you cannot get head or tail over it because of the karmic negativity. That's why asking for forgiveness and repentance sincerely, with faith, with understanding is very important. Then you vow not to do it. And from that moment, follow the advice of the Buddha. Then after that, as you cultivate, you develop merits, spiritual wealth. Then you invoke power or merit for you to have the causes and conditions to recover from your karmic negativity, gain back your life, and become a normal human being again, so that you can become successful in life again, so that life can become meaningful again. So this is the brief summary of what this teaching is all about. So if you have the affinity, the faith and the understanding, it can help you. If you don't have the faith, the affinity and the understanding, then nothing much can be done. You will not look at it, you will not pay attention to it too. But if you are sincere, if you have faith, if you are serious about life, this is something that can transform your life, bring forth great change in your life. And a lot of human beings doesn't understand that this is so simple, so easy. Because this teaching is not easy to understand. And very few people can explain to you this way, so that you can easily understand it. And because it's recorded, I think in future you will help a lot of people. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to be a Buddhist to understand this teaching, because this teaching is the truth. It's beyond religion. It's about nature's law, nature's truth. There is no belief in war. It's just putting it to investigation. Find out for yourself whether this is the truth or not. If it's the truth, it will work for you. It will change your life. You can see the result immediately. If it's not the truth, like those things that you do, nothing to do with your karma, you don't change your karma, your life will never change. But if you do all this, you take care of karma, means you avoid all evil by not violating the karmic negativity, then you do good and develop your goodness. Means you not only take care of karma, you go beyond, one step beyond, to make yourself very beautiful, very generous, very kind, very respectful, have a lot of gratitude, have a lot of love, compassion, kindness, goodness, sincerity, gentleness, pleasantness. So all this, you are going to inherit them, because law of karma is you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. When you are kind to people, good to people, people will be kind to you, good to you. And this is how your life can become beautiful. Otherwise, you every time create fear, suffering, and misery in people. When you come, you will have very difficult life. It will arise to haunt you. You will have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, severe depression, and other things. Because this is what you caused other living beings before. That's why now the karma hit back, you become the victim. It will cause a lot of things to happen in your life so that it will haunt you and make you miserable. And this is what karma is about. That's why if you don't keep to this law of karma, you will become miserable. You will be afflicted. Okay, with that, maybe I will open it up for you all. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I will open it up for you all to ask questions. Or report your meditation if you want to. Because if you don't have, we have one topic to go into. This is what Paramasuri has helped photostat, that you have a copy of the notes in front of you. Sankara Upapati Sutta. This is a very unique sutta, and it's seldom shared or taught. But somehow got conditioned, this sutta come about, and it's a Theravada sutta. Then you will understand how the Buddha actually indeed teach this sutta, because there were conditions for it to arise. I will explain later. Maybe now you all make use of whatever time you have to ask whatever question you want. Then report your meditation. You can also do that. Okay, while I have a drink. Okay. You just have to raise your hand. Don't be shy. Anybody? Report your meditation or ask question. Pass the mic to Paramasuri.
Good evening, Bratia, and all Kayanamitas.
Yes.
Bratia, I try something because I don't know whether it's right or not.
Don't worry about right and wrong. Just share.
The word that you always tell us, accord and flow.
Yes.
I realize that there is many levels. There are many levels in this accord and flow.
Okay.
We can only accord and flow when our mind is silent and we can act spontaneously. Is it correct?
In a way, it is correct. But if you were to understand it that way, express it that way, it may not be useful at the moment, because when you say it like that, means you don't have the clear understanding as to what accord and flow is yet. This is like theoretical. The word, you must be able to act spontaneously. You must have the other one is you mentioned the wisdom and the understanding. Of course, these are the theory. Without wisdom, how can you accord and flow? And without wisdom, how can you act, speak, and think spontaneously? Your spontaneous action didn't go through the brain, understand? That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. That one go through the brain. That is not spontaneous. That is you consider already, understand? Go through the brain to consider. Hey, like that correct or not? Is that what the Buddha say? Is that what Brother Teo? That is already no more spontaneous in that understanding. That's why I used to say wisdom is whether you have or you don't have. Yoni Somana Sikara is like that. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. That's why Manasikara. Yoni So is wisdom. Manasikara is attention at the moment of sense experience. So wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you have means you have. That spontaneously it will act. You will understand what to do. But if you don't have, you try to use knowledge to understand, refer to the brain, the memory, then it can never be spontaneous. And this is more important, understand? Rather than, hey, I think I have wisdom already. I think now I act spontaneously. I never think already. This is not going to work, understand? But what you say is very true. It has many levels. In that sense, it's like, yeah, there are many levels to accord and flow. But when you don't have the wisdom, you will do it according to what you understand. And if you quote me wrongly, you will have big problem. Understand? Because you will go and say, hey, brother, you say accord and flow. Don't try to be funny. That is completely out. Understand? Because when I say accord and flow, means you must already have the wisdom to see the sign and the condition. Condition like that, don't go against it. Understand? You don't go and tell people, hey, you promised already, you know. You must come. Where got such thing? Dhamma is not rigid. If it's rigid, it's not Dhamma already. That's why when you have the understanding of Dhamma, which is very beautiful, because when you take care of karma, karma take care of you. And you know what is the meaning of it. Means you have faith in the Buddha's teaching. Then you put it to test. You stand up to investigation. Your faith becomes unshakable. Then you cultivate. Then you realize your karmic nature becomes very beautiful. When you follow the advice of the Buddha, you take care of karma, your karmic nature becomes very beautiful. So accord and flow means, even you promise, agree to go like our spiritual trip, the schedule like that, we're supposed to go there. But because you take care of karma, your karmic nature is so different, so powerful, it will cause things to arise. Things that you already agree in your program, if you're not supposed to go, the condition will arise, you cannot go. This is what wisdom is all about. Then the karmic nature take care of you, then you know, cannot go. That's how you make another decision. Understand? This is accord and flow. Not to go and quote me, if brother Teo say accord and flow, don't try to be funny. Driver say cannot go, means cannot go. I tell you, this is completely out of context, understand? Driver say, not nature's law, understand? Not a nature's sign. If it's a nature's sign, then you can act. But if you don't have the parami, how can you accord and flow? You understand? You don't have the karmic nature to arise the condition. That's why your question is very good. Unknowingly, it created so much conditioned for the Dhamma to be expressed out. Well, these are the things that non-cultivator cannot understand. And there is no condition for this understanding to arise. That's why every time I say echo and flow, you all like, Bratia, every time I say. That's why her question is very good today, Surya. Luckily she asked, then I can explain. So now at least you have a clearer picture of what echo and flow means. If you don't have this nature, this wisdom, this understanding, you cannot, technically you cannot echo and flow. It's not to say that there are many levels on the sana. Many levels is to the mundane thinking that when I am now at this level of understanding, I do this way. But that thing that you do is not accord and flow on the sana. It's just the decisions you make. Sometimes it's from memory. Most human being is acting according to memory. That's why I say it's not acting at all. You know what is memory? They act according to their views and the opinion of things. That's why memory is very strong behind all their action. Then through memory, they will quote, they will recall. Is it like that? Must I act like that? What is accord and flow? Why, brother, say acting according to memory is not acting at all? I try not to use memory to act. You do that, got no meaning. Means you totally don't understand what I say. If acting according to memory is not acting at all, then how should you act? You should inquire that way, understand or not? When you inquire that way, you will understand how to act. So now I ask you, how should you act if you don't act according to memory? Can you act? I better write it down. So you know, acting according to memory is not acting at all. So how should you act? Huh? How should you act? Huh? Acting according to memory is not acting at all. So this one put exclamation mark. So the second, the inquiry is, how should you act? How should you act? Yeah? Come, give it a try. Yeah? Then act according to what? Wisdom. Alicia says it's true. Then, of course, Padmasri says act according to Noble Eightfold Path, which is also correct. Well, this is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. But without wisdom, Noble Eightfold Path cannot come out. That's why you act according to wisdom. Act according to wisdom. For people who don't understand, they thought wisdom is knowledge, understand or not? You understand? Knowledge is memory, understand or not? Knowledge got nothing to do with wisdom. Wisdom is an understanding, it's not a rigid thing, it's not a knowledge. That's why wisdom cannot be stored anywhere. It's with your nature. When your nature awakens, you will understand. You don't have to remember, don't have to commit to memory. That's why a lot of people tell me, Bhatiyo, after we cultivate, I realize I cannot remember at all. They thought can remember the Dhamma means they have wisdom. It's not like that. Memory is the brain. Then when you commit to memory, you accumulate, you every time try to recall. And there is knowledge, there is not wisdom. Then when you act according to memory, you act according to knowledge, which is not wisdom. Wisdom, whatever the condition arise, at that moment, that form and mind will know how to act. That's why spontaneously it will know how to respond. It will not go and think. Try to recall through memory. What did the Buddha say? What did Prasadio say? how should I? All this from the thought, and I saw you are dead already. But don't worry, if the wisdom has not arisen, just let it be. Then you have to recall the Dhamma to act. You recall the Dhamma to act. The Dhamma is still a pointer towards wisdom, understand? Well, the Dhamma is like a pointer, understand? It points towards the truth, towards awakening. So at least you use the Dhamma, you couldn't go very wrong, understand? I must keep my precept. So I act according to Noble Eightfold Path. At least this is still something better than knowledge. Yeah, this is Dhamma knowledge. Dhamma knowledge is still a better knowledge than the what they call the non-Dhamma knowledge, understand? Which is very strong religious belief system, views and opinion and all those things. So before the wisdom arise, you have to recall through memory the teaching. So the teaching is what you need to recall. That's why I say spend more time on phase one of the Dhamma, Pariyatti. You know there are three phases of Dhamma. Phase one is what? Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. That's why I learn the essential Dhamma, understand the teaching very clearly. When you understand it very clearly, then you can put it to practice with understanding. Then you progress very fast. Then the third phase is to reap the fruit of your hard work. So when you develop the clear understanding of phase one, Dhamma learning of the teaching, when you understand it very clearly, you put it to practice with understanding, then you progress very fast, your wisdom will arise. Then you reap the fruit of your hard work. That's how you can live life, the third phase of Dhamma, the noble life of an enlightened being. That is the most beautiful part of your life. And to do that, you must have the awakening, the wisdom, the understanding. So without the stage one, you cannot act, understand? No? At least with stage one, you already contemplate and reflect until this teaching, this essential Dhamma very clear. That's why when you are mindful, you can straight away know these are evil roots. Because you know what constitutes evil. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what constitutes good? The absence of evil is good. That's why you will know how to be ever mindful, to be aware of your mental intention. The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have this understanding, you can cultivate. Then you can act. Because as you cultivate, you act. As you become mindful, you are aware. Then, because you already know what constitutes evil. That's why I say, when you make aspiration to avoid all evil, but you never aspire to understand what constitutes evil. That's why in the Bodhisattva vow, I put it there for you. I determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. And I determine to understand what constitutes evil. Like you say, you vow to have causes and conditions to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise. But you never determine to understand who are the heedless and the foolish, and who are the wise. That's why you cannot fulfill the vow. So when you understand the essential Dhamma, you reflect, contemplate until very clear, then you put it to practice, you understand very fast. Then even, let's say, when you put it to practice, you haven't awakened, the wisdom haven't come, you can act according to your Dhamma understanding from phase one Dhamma, understand? Where you understand what constitutes evil. So you have to be ever mindful to look at your mental intention behind all your action, speech, and thought process. Then you can check your cultivation and all those things. Then in terms of fear, in terms of whatever situation or condition, you will know this Noble Eightfold Path is very important. And Noble Eightfold Path is what? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then you check, am I speaking in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path? Do I have right view? Did I react and stir my mind through my own views and opinion? If I got right view, if I know law of karma is like that, law of mind is like that, the Four Noble Truths is like that, then I can attend to it. And that's how you act. Acting according to understanding, which is wisdom. And understanding is understanding the Dhamma. That's why phase one of the Dhamma is pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. And that itself is to develop understanding of the teaching. Then you use that understanding to act, even though the wisdom is not there yet. But this is a lot better than the non-Dhamma. Understand? Your non-Dhamma views and opinion and all those things, your superstition, your belief system. Forget about all those things. That's why I cultivate the Dhamma. Part one. Pariyatti, very important. Then with that, you know how to act. Because when the essential Dhamma is understood very clear, then very easy to cultivate, to put into practice. Very easy to use it to live life. Okay? You can follow. Sadhu. So this is what cultivation is all about. And it's a very good question. We should thank for answering. Yeah? Perfection. Parami means your wholesomeness, your goodness, all of your perfection. It's a Pali word. When you perfect all your virtue, your goodness, then it becomes your perfection. They call it the parami. A long, long time. That's why you must develop until it becomes like a perfection. That's why you must have that type of parami. When you have wisdom, then only the parami comes about. Without wisdom, you cannot do good.
But just now you
say
the wisdom has nothing to do with knowledge.
Correct.
So this wisdom, we have to derive it for non-cultivators to learn it. We have to go back to the Dharma as a first point.
Yes. That one is, use the mic. Sorry. Otherwise not recorded. Kevin, don't mind. You repeat your question. Never mind. I lead you. You ask what is parami. So I already explained. Just now already recorded. Parami is your perfection. When you have cultivated until it has become very, very clear, very stable, it becomes your perfection. Then after that, you ask something else.
I was saying that if you are for a beginner,
you use knowledge.
And then first wisdom is not linked to knowledge.
Correct. You cannot learn.
Okay. So
you have to meditate to awaken, or reflect, contemplate to suddenly understand deeply.
So for us to acquire the first step to wisdom.
That's why the learning of the Dhamma, phase one, pariyatti. Learning of the Dhamma can come in three ways. First, read. Last time, no writing, cannot read. Now you can read. Then listen. Listen to my sharing. Listen to the recording. Listen to whatever audio file or video file. Understand? So, one is reading. One is listening. The other one is meditation. Meditation.
Buddhism, we don't use the word prayers, right?
God. Make aspiration. Our prayer is aspiration. You pray for something, isn't it? But we know prayer is a greed. It's a greed. You ask for favor from God, understand? You pray to God. You pray to deity, somebody to help you, understand? Definitely you are. You are asking a favor, like you pray to heaven. But you don't know what is heaven. You believe there is heaven. By the grace of God. That's why Buddhists don't call it prayer. Buddhists call aspiration. Aspiration means what? You invoke power of merits, understand? Through nature's law, for causes and conditions for it to arise. Nothing will happen if you just pray, understand? But if you have faith, then you pray, then it's different. Understand? When you have faith, when your sadha is very strong, like you have very strong faith in the Buddha, in Kuan Yin, then you make aspiration for certain thing to arise. Yeah. Or sometimes they like Christian, they say, you Hokkien, isn't it? They used to go temple, they do the joystick, Pai Peng An. Then what did they recite? Oh, that one is one of the ritual. But they all, popi, then some more what? Pai, just forgotten. They always like that one. Like they say, Pai, popi, la tok gong, kasi ting gong, kasi topek gong, or what gong, tai ke ping an. This is popi, asking for them to help, to give rise to all this for you, because you think you pay respect to him, understand? Like kiu, popi, means, well, how to translate popi? Bao yu, bao yu, bao yu. So all this is right in ritual, understand? Whereas the Buddha never asked you to do that. Bodhisattva. No, you pay respect, you develop affinity, understand or not? Then, like I always say, you request. You know what is request? Request is not prayer. No. You request for their, you request for their blessing, protection, and guidance, understand or not? So first, you say, thank you so much. You pay your respect. You would like to thank Kuan Yin's nature, or Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin's Bodhisattva's nature, for her blessing, protection, and guidance all this while. Then by the power of whatever wholesomeness and merits that this nature of mine has cultivated, may arise the causes and conditions for all this great being to continue to bless, protect, and guide this nature. You can invoke this type of aspiration. You invoke power merits for causes and conditions. So how it happened, no need to know. Through nature's law, it will happen. Ask means what? Toe. Toe is not greed. Toe. You know what is toe? Not to say all wrong. Sometimes you believe in that special being, understand? You believe he is God Almighty. So they have this faith. So faith can cause something to arise, understand? Your faith is confident. You've got good mind state, understand? You see, it's just like, let's say, for analogy, this one is to develop understanding. If you are Christian, what do you do? You pray to God, you know. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. So what are you doing? Yeah, just by praying, do you think it will be fulfilled? No. You can have very strong faith in Jesus, but you don't take care of karma. You know what is take care of karma? That's why the Christian, a lot of them become very strong Christian believer. You know why? Because they believe in the Jesus, Son of God. So they believe in the teaching of Jesus, the embodiment of his teaching. So if you really have love and compassion, which is Jesus' perfection or parami, if you believe in Jesus' love and compassion, you become beautiful. Then if you follow his advice by taking the 10 commandments, you will become more beautiful. And what is all this? Now you understand. If you don't do that, you go and violate all the 10 commandments, you pray, you go and pray, see what will happen to you. You will get kau-kau, I tell you, from the karma. There's no amount of prayer is going to help you when you don't understand all this. You pray because you are sincere. You thank God for the food, understand or not? But did the food come from God? You never ask, understand or not? Actually, what they are teaching them is to have gratitude, understand or not? Because to them, God is almighty. From nature, which is like God, almighty, everything come about. That's why God used to tell you, we are all born in the image of God. You understand? Then what can God be? God must be nature, because we come from nature, understand or not? Without nature, you and I don't exist. So we are all born in the image of God. So what is God? Nature. When you describe God as nature, then it's perfect. Their God got no image. You realize or not? They tell you. Whatever that got image is idol worshipping, not God. Nature got image or not? Nature is mighty nature, mother nature, no image, nothing. Then God knows. Everything you do, God knows. How can God know? You think He got time to look at everybody's brain? Your mental internet, everything you do, you think He got time to record? Like my classmate last time in university, the Christian came fellowship before Christmas. They came to all the colleges. They want to like get us to join their community. So they say got caroling fellowship. Wow, all the pretty girls come. So you know, your engineering class, very naughty. Wow, when we saw pretty girl, hey, you're most welcome. Come, come, come. You're most welcome. Then after that, when they start, you know, engineering student very naughty. Oh, you're talking about God. Then they ask a few questions. Then they get very angry. Yeah, they know we are not serious. But actually, we are not to say not serious. We are very serious. But they cannot understand us. Then they get so angry, you know what they say. Wait till judgment day, then you will know. They think we don't know what is judgment day. Then one of my classmates, he asked, you think your God got time? Let's say judgment day is today. 6 billion population, no. Each person 1 minute to judge, You know how much time to judge or not? And this is only planet Earth, no. So how can God know? God can only know if His nature through nature's law. And that's not law of karma. Law of karma record everything. That's why it's not a God. It's a law. Nature's law, like scientific law. Physics law, chemistry law. You need a God to make all this law? You cannot deny you were born from your mother's womb. Yeah? You think God created you? All these things need creation or not? I look at the world, nothing is created. Everything arises orderly through nature's law, nature's condition. That's why if God is nature, then all the Christian teaching is correct. How I know? You asked them. Luckily they didn't pass you Adam's apple. You see, there is a Old Testament that say. No. The Old Testament is very simple. He said there is this Garden of Eden. You heard of Garden of Eden? Yeah? In this garden, God first created Adam. No female one. Then what did He do? He take one rib. Then He created Eve. Yeah. Then Eve, I don't know why they always say the lady is the naughty one, tempted Adam. Tell Adam, the fruit, this is the fruit. Eat it. God already forbidden them to eat. He said, this is a forbidden fruit. It will give rise to a knowledge of good and evil. You cannot eat. The moment you eat, you will be doomed. You will fall. That's how the original sin come. Understand? So they say, Eve tempted Adam to eat the fruit. Then when he eat the fruit, they give rise to the knowledge of good and bad, all right, or good and evil. Then God banished them, supposed to be to earth, from the Garden of Eden, sent now to earth. So from Adam and Eve, you all come about. You believe, huh? You read the history. Yeah? Jesus was born when? 080. Yeah? That time, human race on earth already long ago exists. Our earth 5 to 6 billion at least years ago. Maybe 10 billion years ago. It's not safe. It's to take away your original sin. You mean you are born sinful? That's why I say, did you come from Adam and Eve? Understand? Adam and Eve, whether quite low or what, you also don't know. Understand? Or not? You go Africa, oh, DNA like that one, black and dark one. Then you go to the European country, fair, or then you come to Asia, different again. I know. It doesn't come from only one couple, understand not? It never always start from 1 plus 1, then multiply. It's too slow. If this 1 plus 1 can happen here, it can happen anywhere, understand not? You understand? Yeah, it's okay.
We shouldn't be using our thoughts to project our action.
No.
Our present, but our present is actually our thoughts, isn't it?
No.
No. I stand corrected.
Okay.
Or that's one. And the other one is in Buddhism when you are, is it? I'm not sure whether I used the words correctly. If you're worshipping, how's your mindset like? If you don't think of God, you don't think of prayers, what should be the correct mindset?
No. Now I will explain to you. When you pray, you use your thought. That's why it got no effect. Understand? Your thought is thought, egoic, greedy, selfish. That's why in Christianity it says, pray with your heart and you don't understand what is that. You think you only have thought. Understand or not? Thought is your only instrument. But the Buddha says your thought is your mundane mind, not your true mind. Your true mind is way beyond thought, beyond time, beyond all those things. It's the nature inside, the awareness. What is your heart? Your heart is your inner nature, understand? That's why this heart, there's a gateway that leads to the inner nature. That's why the true mind, the inner nature, your Buddha nature, your true nature, all these are the words that people use. But you have to silence your mind and realize it. When your thought does not arise, then who are you? What are you? Because just now you say everything you use thought in it, to project, to pray, to do whatever you want. Because you believe that is the only instrument you have. But there is another, there is another instrument that you never come to understand because your mind is never silent. Like the fish. Every time in water since birth. You tell them, this earth got air one environment. He say you crazy. Like you lah, world of thought. When you are born, you use thought until now. Then to you, only thought exists, understand? But like the fish, you catch them out from the ocean, you throw them on earth. Oh, there is dry land. That's why they cannot survive. They jump around. And the Buddha call it, what, chitalang, patalang. That's why they cannot survive. Yeah? No water. They cannot swim. They cannot breathe. They have a lot of problems. So a lot of people meditate until very quiet. You know what they say? The eye die. We have no more breathing. Like everything very quiet. Like they don't exist. That's why they got fear. And what is fear? Fear is part of thought. Fear is an emotion, a movement from feeling. Feeling and fear is part of thought. That's why your thought is the five aggregate of form and mind. The pure awareness, consciousness, and its content. The content is your aggregate of mind. Your perception, your thinking, your views, your opinion, your emotion. These are all within your content of consciousness, which is your thought process. But when thought ceases, who are you? What are you? You are the most beautiful, but you never realize that. You are actually God. That is God. Where God is almighty. That is your essence. Your true nature. That is nature. Before it arise, it was like that all the time. That's why the Mahayana call it the original nature. But light and more. And there is the source of all things. From there, everything arises. The source is the singularity. From there, everything arises. And you can see, that is God. God created. That's why after that, the whole creation come out. Don't try to understand now. You must silence your mind. You can't even reach the first stage of silencing your mind to realize what is awareness. That's why just now when I start, I explained to you, awareness is the ability of the mind to isolate itself from the thought. When you are aware, means the thought ceases. And what is thought? Thought is the movement. Thought is the one that creates movement and trigger of fear, worry, anxiety when you project your thought. When something happens and you cannot understand what happened, fear of the unknown, there is fear. Then thought creates, this body belongs to me. Fear of it getting old, getting sick and die. Traumatic disease. That's why fear trigger all. Through what? Through your wrong view. Because you cling, you grasp, you hold. Things you cannot understand, the thought cannot understand, there is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of losing a job. Fear of losing your loved one. Fear of your body getting sick, getting old, and one day die. That's why fear is everywhere. Fear of losing your job. Not able to get what you want. When things don't go your way. Yeah, the reality of life and existence. When you don't have wisdom, you attach, you cling. Then you develop all this fear. This is the movement of thought. And thought is not you, the Buddha said. Thought is impermanent, arise and pass away. That's why fear is not you. Fear arise and pass away. Before you have fear, there was no fear. Then when you are without fear, peaceful, meditating in Cameron Highland, who are you? What are you? Is that Kiat Hun still the same Kiat Hun? You never think. This is not an argument. Oh, that is the question the whole world is asking. You know what Jay Krishnamurti say? People ask him the first question. Because he came out with this very powerful statement now. He said, our education is doomed. Teaching the wrong thing, sure doomed. What is our education system all about? Not only factory making, achievement, competition, to excel, to be successful, to be good. And he teaches you about the ego. The moment you go to school, they register you. Kiat Hun. Ui. Tan. Tan Kiat Hun. Then they call attendant. Tan Kiat Hun. Put up the hand. So the identity go in already. The ego went in already. Then because there is a Tan Kiat Hun, what happened? This Tan Kiat Hun, Tan Kiat Hun, Kiat Hun, become an individual. Understand? That's why there is a personality. There is an ego. So from here, you act. You act according to this belief. This wrong view. Thinking that this is you. This is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. This form of mind, Chetthun, that you call, is not you. This is karmically conditioned. Why are you scared? That's why this is condition arising. Dependent originating. From karma you come. Without your mother's, what they call, ovum, your father's sperm, if they don't copulate and take, and you are a champion before, otherwise you cannot be the one taking birth. No. The sperm must be the one that has the championship, then only you can take conception, asana. And then, conceive 10 months, or maybe 9 months, 7 months, I don't know. Then, give birth. You are born into this world. Did God create you? Are you special? Then where do you come from? Who are you? What are you? Without the sperm and the ovum and the subdivision that happened during the 10 months in the womb, can you come out? Without your mother's whatever, from the placenta, the food and all those things, the heartbeat, the prajna and all those things, the consciousness that went in. Where did the consciousness went in? That's why all these are karmically conditioned out. That's why the Buddha said, you are born of your karma. And this is the form of mind, you know, not you. The true one, the true nature is nothing to do with this. Because this one is from karma come out.
So it's consciousness, true mind.
Where God said, how can consciousness and true mind be the same? That one is the rebirth consciousness that went in. Then karma come the life force, karmic force, that pump the heart, that keep you alive. These are the conditions that maintain you. And you keep on evolving until you are born as a baby. Then that time you're very cute. Yeah, you are very naive, very sincere one. No cunningness. Understand? Don't have all those funny views and opinion, the greed, the anger, the fear, nothing. You are beautiful. You hungry, you just cry. Then you want to pee, and all those things. Then when people feed you, you're happy, you're very cheerful. God. But before you teach him, no. Before you teach him, you go and check what personality he has. He doesn't have anything. It's not naturally nice. It's karma, understand? Oh. The karma come, you have to cry. You have to cry. That's why some you call hao bao, understand? Cry baby, hao bao. Hao bao. Then some never cry one. Like I born, my mother say, it's very easy to jaga one. Never cry one. When I want to pee, When I want to rock the yao lama, my leg will just like that. Then by itself, it will rock. Then I want to eat that time. I two, three times. That's it. Then my mother will know, feed me. Then after feed me, I like very innocent. Until 6 years old, I'm still very innocent. Because my mind got nothing, blank. I got no mind. Born with a pure mind. Don't have thought. That's why I cannot remember anything before the age of 6. But my mother and my father say, I'm very cheerful, very beautiful. Yeah. You look at me, you will know I'm very innocent, very beautiful. I saw my own photo when I was young. My father went to the studio and took the photo. Yeah, I was so cute. He took for me. Then I saw. Then the moment I saw and knew, no wonder my mind was like that. That's why it's not every baby also has this character. Sometimes the DNA is a karma. You are born of your karma. You every time also how power. You come, you sure carry that characteristic. Like you are a specialist in organ or pianist. You come, you listen to piano, you will get attracted. It's the same. Because you how power all the time. That's why like come moody, cannot laugh, cannot smile, cannot be cute and innocent. But if you have that, you come, you're very cute, very like me. Never cry. My grandmother told me one. No, he scared I dumb. He said alo in Hakka. You know what is alo? Dumb. Understand? He cannot talk. Because I didn't cry. And I didn't talk until 6 years old. I always smile. I very cute one. My parents told me. And my mother said, easiest to jaga of all the 10 that she gave birth to. And I'm very independent one. Don't need to take care of me by itself. You will know what to do one. That study also, nobody taught me. A lot of things, this life, I never learned on. But the nature just understand, just know what to do. So don't try to know. Meditate. Then you will understand. Silence your mind, more and more, have faith. Then all this you will understand. Where it comes from, the silence, from the true mind. Only the true mind can develop the wisdom, the awakening. The egoic mind, the thought cannot, where there is knowledge. Where what you're trying to realize is a state which is beyond thought, beyond mind. How can you use thought?
We are also trying to understand the egoic mind.
Your understanding is the thought. Because you use the thought to understand, that's why you cannot understand. If you really want to understand, your thought must cease. When your thought ceases, you touch that true mind. You will know what the thing is. Then from there, you will know how to use that to observe yourself, to see yourself.
Absolute no thinking at all?
Not only no thinking, complete stillness and silence. No movement, no activity, no verbalization, no chattering, nothing. Why you think it's impossible, amazing? It's not novice, because you think a lot. Understand? You know, my teacher, Ajahn Yantra, he used to go to the temple and share. And you know the question people ask him, Prachan, how come I cannot meditate? I see you like very easy, you can meditate. He said, your problem is you think a lot. He just answered like that, you think a lot. Understand?
So does it mean those?
You check every moment what you are doing. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. You are never with the moment, silent, to be aware of what is going on. When you pay attention to a lecture, or when you are observing a baby, what must you do? You must attentively, without thought, observe. Then you understand. Then you will really listen. But as you listen, you use your views and opinion and your thought to comment. Ayo, this lecturer, why he say like that? I don't think he is right. When you are doing this, you are not listening. Understand? You understand? But when you attentively just listen, don't comment. No verbalization, no chattering, no interfering from the brain. What happened? There is attentiveness. There is awareness. When you attentively listen, it just goes. Because you are not biased. You don't have views and opinion interfering with what you listen. That's why I go and read the book, the brown book, The Art of Listening. Remember that book at the retreat? You got one. Go back and read that one. First few pages already explain very clearly. The Art of Listening. 10:30 already. We have to end. I also have to go to the washroom. Okay, you wait for me. I go to washroom first. After as we do the sharing of merits.
Bye.
Sorry, just now I think Alicia want to ask something. No, never mind. Still okay. That one is a bit fast. The clock is a bit fast. Yeah, pass the mic to her. Because I promise you.
Hello, actually, Bertrand.
Yeah.
我只是要 try to answer 给婚 的 answer.
Yeah.
有一 part 他是说要怎样去 pay respect to the Bodhisattva or Buddha.
Yes.
然后我就是想跟他说，然后我们 pay respect 是我们从我们的 sincerely from the bottom of our heart, and then we think about their love and compassion, their virtues.
Yeah.
我们 去 pay respect, 不是他的鲁邦这样子。
Yeah, yeah, 尊敬, 尊敬, it's not to like bow to them, understand? Not idol worshipping, we don't worship them, understand? We respect them because like the Buddha, he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. So we pay our respect, means reverential salutation. We salute them as a great living being or human being because of their great virtue. Their perfection. They are not only enlightened, fully enlightened. That's why we have great respect and gratitude towards them. Like somebody who has taught you very well, who is very wise, very, very, like, full of goodness, wholesomeness, kindness, love. Such a being is worthy of respect. That's why you pay respect. We don't worship them. We don't, like, worship God. Yeah. 可以可以。
我要补充的就是 每一次 pay respect 给那个菩提萨多 还是 Buddha 我就很感动的就哭 因为我觉得很惭愧 作为他的学生 我还是这么的愚痴 还是这么的 heedless 有一点点的
That's why the emotion will come out Then because you are so sincere It's direct from your heart You really really genuinely, sincerely want to pay respect, then there is this like emotion that come out, like she said, as your student, we still got so much defilement, delusion. But that itself is from the thought. Because the defilement and the delusion is not you, it's the deluded mundane mind. The mundane mind that don't have understanding and wisdom will have all this. That's why it's conditioned out because of your wrong view. So your nature is like their nature, no different. That's why Hui Ning say, you remember? Fifth Patria, when he arrived, you are the southerner. He said, you are barbarian. You are not educated. Why did you come all the way here to seek Buddhahood? You are not even educated, illiterate. And you know what Hui Ning replied? He said, when in this physical form as a human being, then we divide. We got northerner and southerner. Then we got educated and illiterate or barbarian. But when it comes to Buddha nature, there is none of all this. We are the same. That's why I came here to seek none other than Buddhahood. That is the understanding. As far as that nature is concerned, it's the same. That's why the Buddha was originally like you and me, just a human being. From there, he perfected himself. Then realized that nature, which was there all the time, because you lost your ability to understand who you are and what you are.
Talking about who you are, what you are, recently 我这个 question prompt me, 然后就是 最近我就是觉得我的 mind 很不 stable, 很像很 emotional.
Because that is the mundane mind. The mundane mind will do all this.
Yeah, 就是 然后今天早上我就起来的时候, 然后就是不知道怎么办, 就是 I don't know what to do with all this, you know. Then it come to an understanding, you go and meditate. So as I sat down there, and then suddenly all the body aching, pain all gone. And then I was like in very silent for a while. Then I come to understand. 好像不懂是痛还是什么，我也不知道。 好像说你就是那个 那个 mind 跟那个身体是，如果你的 mind 就是在那个 state 哦，你没有任何的痛，
yeah,
没有任何的
correct 啊。So what is your understanding? That one is very important.
就是好像 understand 不要再抓住这个
Yeah, that's why this form of mind is a form of mind. It's condition arising. That's why you come to realize when the mind state is beautiful.All the aching gone. Understand? Where the mind know how to relax. It doesn't cling and doesn't attach. That's why there is no duality. There is no like and dislike. No sensual desire and ill will. The hindrance cease. That's why you can straight away go into that silence. It's because sati take over the spiritual faculty. You already have the spiritual faculty. But when your thought come in and interfere and tell you all this, you become restless, agitated. Understand not?Then you think, how come I meditate so long, I am still like that? That one is not you. That one is the thought telling you. That's why you will get caught. But when you understand, because later on you say, you must meditate, which is a good answer. Then you go and meditate. Then what happens? You don't create anything. Because you know how to relax and silence. Then sati take over. Then you enter that stillness, silence. Then all the aching gone. Because when your mind state is like that, the mental hindrance,cease to be. That's how it transforms. But this is not you. Form and mind is form and mind. It has to go through. That is your segmented life, not you. Use it and not to be affected by it. Like the fifth patriarch Tou Huining, he came to great awakening. That's how I learned to use this. Don't worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Don't worry about it. How come it's still not calm?The whole of meditation is to develop understanding and wisdom, and you are more concerned with the mind becoming peaceful and calm, thinking that this is a sign of progress. If I progress, my mind must be more calm, which is in a certain way true. But before the full stability of understanding and the transformation, when the mundane mind has not collapsed, this form of mind is like that. It has its own nature, its own tendency, its own reality.Its own movement. Because this form of mind, the consciousness is trapped inside. You cannot do anything. Understand? Like just now when I was sharing, I drink so much water, my bladder gave me the sign, tactile sensation, I need to go. Then I have to tell you, otherwise you think I don't want to finish all the blessing. Sharing on Marie. It's less than 1-2 minutes. But because this one, if I hold, it is going to give the...body problem, and why should I do that? I myself sincerely tell you I need to go. Then I go. Then now I come out, I can share freely. There is no more problem. If I go and complain, ayo, at my level, how can I still have this style agitated? Then I am foolish, deluded by this thought. Understand? Then this is not the nature understanding it. This is the thought telling me. That's why you don't have all the paisei and all those things. No more. If I need to go and relieve myself, I will go. Understand? Even you say, Bratio, can you wait for a while? I will still tell you, you wait for me. Understand? Because when you need to go, you better go. Understand? Why you want to torture yourself? Unless you can still endure and the condition is such, then...I was still endure. I have endure before, not to say I haven't. But no point, you understand? This body is still a body, it's not you. Don't try to be a hero, you understand? You can endure, so what? So meditation is about wisdom. Nothing to do with all this. The mind must be continuously like that. The mind must not have any more hindrance. And when you stabilize already, this is true. It can happen. But...As you go through, even at anagami level, they still got restlessness of mind. That's the stage of sainthood. Even arahant, when their mundane mind haven't collapsed, they still have this thought outflow, understand? Huh? This movement. But they are not deluded anymore. They know this thing clearly. So they cannot have suffering anymore. Yeah. But yours is doubt, understand? Doubt created by thought.How come I am still like that? Oh, see, just like what Song went through last time. We better end. Sadhu. That's why I also rejoice with a good question and a good condition. So tonight, although we didn't finish the discussion of Sankara Upapati Sutta, I think it's meant to be. Yeah? So this note, you got two choices. Either leave it behind so that next Thursday you don't have to bring, or take it back, read, then remember to bring. Otherwise you come without note. But if you got your WhatsApp phone, the soft copy is also inside there, so you don't have to worry. Yeah? So with this, we will end. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. And then we end. We will start with the devas. Akasata cha bhumatha devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu lokasasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina name bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yāvā nivāna pātiyā. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem, then we end.
Some of my questions is not the same.
Yeah.
Including, but I'm also learning.
Yeah.